This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton, and joining me on the podcast today is our legal Lothario, Derek Kaufman.
You must have some courtroom drama.
Oh my Lord.
You got some
Lord.
Drama on me?
Oh my Lord.
You gotta break it down? Let's do it.
So Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, the armorer in the Russ case, she was sentenced to 18 months of prison, which is the maximum penalty. And people are now asking, what does that mean for Alec Baldwin? So we'll talk about that. Gordon Ramsay has a restaurant over in London that has been taken over by squatters.
And you had some ideas about that, huh?
Yeah,
people. You want to take this place over.
Yeah, I know. I should just camp out at TMZ. It becomes mine.
Start with the podcast, studio.
Yeah. But Gordon can't get these guys out, and they're not going to leave, and they think they live there now. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about Caitlin Clark. She was drafted number one last night in the WNBA. But interestingly, she's earning a pittance. It's wild how little she's going to be earning. But to begin with, in a case that will be known as Jelly Roll v. Jelly Roll, you know the hip-hop guy?
I know him. I know him. What a meteoric rise. This guy went from roughly nobody, and he's been around for a while. Now he is so mainstream. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. We cover him constantly. And everyone loves him. He's got like universal sort of appeal.
Well, not everybody.
Yes.
Because there is a wedding band who also does charity events, who's also been to the White House to play for George Bush. They're also named Jelly Roll. And they have been named Jelly Roll since before Jelly Roll, the hip-hop artist, was even born.
Well before. They say the 80s, right?
They've
yes. been rocking weddings, even going to the White House, and they're saying, hey, you're on our turf. We're the real Jelly Roll. And what I found most interesting is what they're complaining about is when you used to Google Jelly Roll, you might get a few pastries, but then you'd get them. You would get them coming up, right? And
yeah.
they would be like, hey, hire my wedding band. And the world is all about Google search now. So now when you search Jelly Roll, you get the rapper. You
of course.
Get him. He's going to be your first couple pages or at least your first few instances of hits on any search engine. And that's hurting their business.
So I can imagine.
Hey, what about our trademark? We've been using this. And they set it up to show that it's not just we're not squatting on Jelly Roll. It's not like we just have the naming rights, but we're waiting to use them. We actively are out there at weddings, at the White House. They're building themselves up. And it's causing confusion because when people say, I want to hear a Jelly Roll song, we don't know if it's going to be us or the very famous rapper.
Yeah, so they first came to be this Jelly Roll group in 1980.
Yeah, that's the year of my birth, and I'm an old man.
And they got the trademark in 2010. They renewed the paperwork in 2019, which is good through 2029. And now they say that this guy has taken our name. He's got super famous. Now, we're just like left here, like wondering what to do.
Yeah, this isn't the case of like the rising tide raising all ships. They're not getting help by this. They think it's hurting their business. So they're fighting over this trademark right. And I know that most people will say, look, the real Jelly Roll is the famous rapper. Not the case. If they were there first and they are using the name in commerce, which it sounds like they are, you can't just sort of hang on to it. But if you're using it, it's yours.
Mm.
It's first in time. And it sounds like they have the timeline of, we've had it since 1980. We've been using it consistently to serve weddings and other events. We've renewed it, and it's ours. So I don't know what Jelly Roll does about this. Oftentimes, because he's so famous and so rich, you'll buy it. You'll go to the people and say, like, hey, what do you get in each wedding? $500?
Yeah.
I got you. I'll give you $1,000 or whatever it is.
Right.
And you buy the rights, or you figure out some way to share them, or Jelly Roll's going to have to change his name. I don't know. But they do have a lot of leverage here, it seems like to me.
It does, because it seems like pretty black and white. I mean, Jelly Roll, the hip-hop guy, he was given the name by his mum, and he started releasing music in the early 2000s, and he started to go by this name professionally too.
Right.
But he wasn't that big. It was only when he's blown up and now, yeah, as you say, the Google search engine stuff, it points directly at him, never to the wedding band.
No, and they're they're both in music. It'd be one thing if this was a baker who said, hey, I got a little shop on the corner called Jelly Roll, get off my turf. You would say, well, no one's really confused. They come to the bakery for baked stuff and they go to concerts to watch Jelly Roll the rapper. But these two are in the same industry. Mm. Granted, the big Jelly Roll probably not doing weddings anymore. He probably does larger venues. But still, this is causing potentially some confusion. So I'd like to see this play out. I think the wedding band may go by like, you know, Swiss Cake Roll later, and they'll just sell it to him because this is so valuable to Jelly Roll. I don't see him changing his name.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll,
true.
The rapper.
True. This is not the first time either that Jelly Roll has done this sort of infringement. He had an album in 2013 called Whiskey, Weed, and Waffle House. Mm-hmm. And he had the Waffle House logo on the album. And then Waffle House were like, hang on a second, mate.
Hey.
Take that down. And he had to take it down. Otherwise, they would, you know, sue him or whatever. And he changed it to Whiskey, Weed, and Women.
Do you think that Waffle House now kicking themselves, though? Because that would have been like some free advertising with most famous guys imaginable to be associated with. But at the time, they were like, yo, that's our trademark. We sling waffles. We don't know who you are.
So you think that the band will probably change theirs rather than I feel like they would have a moral victory if they were like, I'm not going to accept $1 million. You change your name.
Yeah, maybe they dig in their heels. You're right. They started in 1980. That's 40 plus years. So they probably feel very connected to the name. And as I said, if their timeline's correct and Jelly Roll's rise, the rapper is much later, they're going to have leverage. So maybe he opens up his bank account and says, I'll pay for it, but it might take a lot of money.
Yeah.
It might take a lot of money because a wedding band is like, ooh, I got a lot of gigs.
I'm booked up all through this month, man. I'd like to see him change their name, Peanut Butter and Jelly Roll, or, you know.
Something. Yeah, something. Just give it a little spice.
Exactly.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.
Okay, on to our next story. Caitlin Clark, it was very much expected. She went as number one in the WNBA draft to the Indiana Fever. And
she's massive. She was on the SNL this weekend. I mean, she is one of the most high-profile athletes.
Oh.
Not just female athletes, athletes.
She might. Is it jumping over my skis to say she's the number one athlete of this moment, right now?
I don't think so. I mean, who's bigger right now? That game that she played against UConn got 14 million viewers in the age of, like, no one watches TV anymore. It's insane.
She's revolutionized the women's game.
Yes.
She was the all-time leading scorer across men's and women's.
Mm-hmm.
She shot more three points than Steph Curry. Like, she's big deal. And now, in her first year in the WNBA, she will be earning $76,553.
It's incredible. And then look in the men's draft, Victor Wembanyama. What does he get paid? He got paid more than $12 million in his first season. So the disparity,
is that right?
Yes. So his rookie contract in the men's game, which, look, is just more profitable. It gets more butts in the seats. The ticket prices are much higher. The WNBA is sort of closing that gap, but it's far behind the NBA right now. And Wembanyama, who's a phenom unto himself, was making over $12 million in salary. She's going to make $76,000, which is, I mean, maybe it's a good salary in Indiana. I think you can live okay in Indiana. But here, you would be near the poverty line. You would feel not wealthy at all in Los Angeles living on $76,000. And over the 4 years of her rookie contract, she's going to make in total less than $400,000. That's just not a lot of money.
Right. If she's still playing in 2027, which obviously she will be, she'll be earning $97,000 a year.
Oh, scraping at that 100. scraping at
it's
six
crazy,
figures.
Is it's it crazy. Not?
And by that point, she'll be a full superstar, right? Or she'll get injured. I don't know. I hope not. But she's a massive, massive star. So she's going to carry this league on her back. But the way the salary cap is structured and the way everything is done with the league, that's what she's locked into earning. Now, she's got name and likeness rights. She's going to get endorsements on the wazoo. So she'll make millions of dollars is my sense, because she was already in commercials during the tournament.
Yeah.
During the tournament, you would like be like, hey, is she pumping Allstate or whatever the hell those commercials were, where she's in a parking lot? This is wild. So that has changed sort of their earning potential. But it is stark. And it's a reminder that the WNBA, man, I hope she changes the league and that people want to go. I think she is sort of changing sort of the draw of it, but it's hard to get people to go watch the game because, frankly, it's below the rim. And people want to watch high-flying dunks, and the women's game is different. But she shoots so well, I think it might change it. Like, I'd go to watch her shoot. She shoots like Steph Curry, and that's where you can really close the gap.
I mean, I went to a Sparks game, and I had just as much fun at the Sparks game as I would at the Lakers. It's about just like being there and going to an event.
You
I took my little
closer
to my daughter. Yeah, we had like fourth row seats. It was brilliant. But that is the brilliance of Caitlin Clark, that all those eyeballs on women's college basketball. Now all those eyeballs are going to be on the WNBA, probably going to be their most watched season ever, one would assume.
I would imagine.
And maybe her influence will bring more money to the league so that rookies in the future won't be earning 76 grand a year.
I think that's right. And the other thing is her presence in the league and how high profile she is going to attract other athletes to play basketball, right? Other talented young girls are going to want to play basketball and try to be Caitlin Clark, and that's going to get more girls into the sport, and the sport will get better.
Still, the Big Three offered her $5 million to play 10 games.
I thought this was smart, though, right? She wants to go and be the legitimate star like Steph Curry. If she just grabs the money, you can go to Europe, you can go to the Big Three, you can make more money, but you will not be as relevant.
No,
for endorsements, this
totally
is the right
agree.
Move.
Okay, on to our next story. The Rust armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, was sentenced to her maximum penalty yesterday. 18 months she's going to serve, and it has everybody wondering, you know, Alec Baldwin's next. His trial is coming up in July. He has previously turned down plea deals that he'd only have to pay $500, 24 hours community service, gun safety class, 6 months of unsupervised probation. He said no.
He feels he did nothing wrong, and he wants to prove a point. And guess what? New Mexico wants to prove a point, too, that you don't come into our state and break our laws, and we will throw you in jail up to the maximum. Because this is a huge deal, right? I mean, 18 months on an involuntary manslaughter that was truly a mistake. Well, the prosecutors didn't see it that way. They saw Hannah Gutierrez-Reed as so reckless on that set, handling very dangerous weapons. And there was a loss of life. And they said, look, she has to pay a penalty. She has to go behind bars. And she was as sympathetic as you could be in court. She was falling on the sword, asking for mercy. And the judge said, no, 18 months, max sentence. What does this mean for Alec Baldwin? Well, listen to what the family said afterwards. The family of of Helena Hutchins said, we want to see everyone who held accountable. So they made a point of saying, we know what's coming up in July. That's Alec Baldwin's case. Prosecutors already have a conviction, which I think makes it easier to get another conviction. Now, other people, if you talk to Jason, will say, no, now they've got someone who's paid for the offense, so that makes it less likely that Alec. I see it cut in the other way entirely. I think they think Alec Baldwin is arrogant, and they're going to absolutely prosecute him to the full extent of the law, and I think he could face serious prison time.
Same judge, too. Same.
We know how the judge looks at the case.
Same potential sentence he could get. This whole thing, his whole case, will hinge on did he or did he not pull the trigger. He is saying, no, I didn't. The prosecutors are saying gun couldn't have fired without you doing it.
The FBI analysts have said, I don't know. We've looked at the gun and it only fires if you pull the trigger. Then there's some sense that his lawyers say maybe in some circumstances it could just misfire with the hammer and not pulling the trigger. A lot of confusion. I think what kills him, though, is his arrogance. I think he reads very arrogant. I mean, whenever you see Alec Baldwin, even in the interview right after the death, he was not taking any responsibility. There was sort of like, you could see this guy. Now, we've seen videos of him on the set. He was so far and away the biggest star on this indie movie, and he acted like it.
No remorse. No remorse.
It doesn't look like remorse. I mean, he is sad about the tragedy. Remember, he met with the husband, but he doesn't seem like he is taking any responsibility for her death. And I don't think that plays well in front of a jury. I don't.
Okay. Almost news time. Gordon Ramsay has an issue. Yep. People have moved in to his bar and they will not leave. So his bar is in London. It's called the York and Albany Pub and Hotel. It's reportedly worth $16 million, this place.
London real estate, man. It's like New York real estate.
Well, it's been around since the 1820s. It's survived wars. It's a historic sort of building. Well, apparently the lease was sort of like crossing over hands, and it was unoccupied, the building. So people moved in, and police say they can't force them to move out unless they're committing crimes in there.
We're living in an age of squatters. It's wild. Even in this city and other major cities around the U.S., this is obviously in London, there is a housing crisis, right? I mean, we have a homelessness problem here in L.A. So people, when they see unoccupied dwellings, are a little savvier about the law. There is something called squatters' rights, where just by occupying an unoccupied dwelling, and you can't just barge into someone's home, but if it's unoccupied and boarded up and you find your way into it and you stay long enough, you can acquire rights of a tenant. You're basically a tenant who doesn't pay any rent and is just in this occupied building. And that's what it seems like these six people did. And they're very excited about it. They wanted to set up like an artist commune. I believe they have an Instagram page where they're like, hey, come one, come all.
We got
this lit. I mean, because it's not like they're in a rural place where they're just trying to lie low and hope no one notices.
They're in
London, dude. They're in a London pub. And it's incredible to see how this plays out, because you're going to see everyone was incredulous in the newsroom, you and Devin, yesterday when we first talked about this story, because you can't understand how someone can just like sit there and the sheriff wouldn't come and take them. You know, law enforcement sees it as a civil matter. This is a contract, a lease between two people. And this matter is, we're not going to bring in that long arm of the law. We don't know how to physically remove you without sort of some sort of criminal violation. And that's not criminal to squat there.
So if like I have a neighbor who lives around my house, this is hypothetical, by the way, who has like moved out or isn't using the space, and it's been like, you know, a few weeks. If I took my sleeping bag and pillow in there and set up shop, after about a week, if they knock on the door saying, hey, hang on a second, this is my place, could they force me out of there? Or could I say, this is squatter's right?
A week would be a hard sell. But, you know, any more than that, you're starting to acquire some rights. It just sort of is a gradual process. In L.A., there are strong squatter's rights as well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So unoccupied dwellings, you can board up the windows. You can make it look imposing. But if they find their way in there, and people put all sorts of padlocks, you shouldn't break and enter. There are laws that you can break. But if you just wander in there and take a sleeping bag to get out of the cold, you might get some squatter's rights.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Well, we'll see how that plays out. It'll be very interesting to see if Gordon gets his pub back. Or, I mean, I'm kind of rooting for the squatters in a way. It's like David and Goliath.
What a clash, too, because Gordon Ramsay's so, like, crazy and coming in there. What the hell are you doing? Like, you can just see him, like, bashing heads with these squatters who are like, hey, come to our artist commune.
He should make an episode out of it, because they're running a soup kitchen. So he should go in there and try the soup. Like, that'd be...
Squatter's nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, squatter's nightmare kitchen. All right, Derek, thanks for joining me, mate.
This is fun.
And we'll see you guys here tomorrow. Goodbye.